gotten through the House. It's expected to get through the Senate. And once it gets to the president's desk, the debt ceiling plan is expected to become law. So what comes next, and how does this play into not only the Committee of 12 that are expected to do the second part of the work on the debt ceiling battle, but also the 2012 elections? We've got our Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick this morning with us. He was on the House floor yesterday when the deal was passed. That's right, Todd, right?
Yep, that's absolutely right.
All right, so let's start first with this first piece, which is the Committee of 12, which is going to have to take care of the other $1.5 trillion in savings that's expected to come out of this debt ceiling plan. I mean, I want to ask you, who's going into this committee? It's split six and six, six Republican, six Democrats. But is either side going in with a stronger base of power?
Well, not really on that Committee of 12, simply because it is six of six. But here's the problem. It's not really a problem, but here's something you need to expect from this, Celeste. That gang of, we're not supposed to call it a gang, that committee of a dozen lawmakers, you know, there's no reason to expect them not to deadlock on their decisions. Now, you had it right. They have to agree by the fall on a package to cut $1.5 trillion more from the deficit. Now, nothing is off limits. That could be massive spending cuts, massive tax hikes, a little bit of both, tax reform. That's all on the table. But you've seen how steadfastly against any tax hikes all Republicans are in Congress. Can you imagine a scenario where leaders would appoint a Republican to that committee who would sign off on raising taxes? Conversely, can you imagine that Democratic leaders would assign a member to that committee who would sign off on anything that didn't raise revenue? What we're headed for, most likely, and I think a lot of people expect this, what we're headed for on that committee is a deadlock, most likely. And even if they don't deadlock, Congress still has to approve their work product, you know, whatever package they come up with to do another massive cut to the deficit by the fall. And this is where some hammers come into play. You said it on the show yesterday, Celeste. There's a sort of Damocles that hangs over this whole process that's supposed to get everybody to kind of do the right thing. It's called sequestration, but that's a fancy word for really just a hammer over everybody's head. Massive across-the-board spending cuts if the committee can't get seven votes for something. Cuts to Medicare providers, 2% across the board, which is pretty big to take out of hospitals and doctors and clinics. Democrats don't want that. But also big cuts out of defense, the Pentagon, Homeland Security, and intelligence. Republicans really, really don't want that. That's supposed to get them all to the table. And it may work. But I think a lot, I want to tell you that a lot of the strategists and political people on the Hill are already talking to me about a scenario that they're envisioning, which is you get to the fall and you get to a political standoff where there's a deadlock. Sure, the enforcement mechanisms, these big cuts, are supposed to motivate everybody to do the right thing, but they're headed for another fight over tax increases where Republicans say, don't forget, those cuts are at the Pentagon. We're headed for a big fight. Where Republicans say, let me finish this one thing. This is important. We're headed for a big fight where Republicans are telling the American people, we're going to cut money for the troops only because Democrats insist on raising taxes. Conversely, Democrats are going to say, we're going to cut money for the troops only because Republicans are married to tax cuts for hedge fund owners and jet owners and the rich. We're headed right back into the same morass that we were in, even though we're supposed to avoid it.
We enjoyed it so much the first time. All right, but here's the thing. So often, it appears that these compromises are reached, saying, look, we'll give a little on this one, and we expect you to give a little on the next one. That compromise maybe puts us in a better place to negotiate the next time that we're maybe reaching hands. You're laughing. But there's no reaching hands across the aisle here? I mean, has compromise earned us nothing?
It may have. I don't know the answer to that. I do know that we said that exact same thing when the CR, remember the government shutdown?
Yeah.
When that thing finally got done, everybody said this is prelude to an easier agreement on the debt limit.
I don't think they said that about the tax cut compromise.
Didn't turn out to be true. Here's one light at the end of the tunnel that I'll give you, Celeste, because I know you're looking for one. Tax reform, a big package of tax reform, is something that a lot of Republicans and a lot of Democrats want to do. It has a little something for both sides, and if it's done right, it can raise a lot of revenue. So there might be something there for both sides, but there still are so many Democrats who are walking around the Capitol last night and this morning saying, by golly, this next thing is going to have tax increases or we're going to have a standoff. And Republicans saying there's not a single one of us who would ever sign off on a tax increase over our dead bodies.
You should record some of those by gollies next time.
By gollies, yeah.
Around late at night. How does the White House look on this? I mean, certainly from the Democratic perspective, they don't look great yet. Is this another triangulation a la Clinton in the 90s?
Yeah, John, I think the White House views this, and people on the Hill are always worried about triangulation, which is the president, in this case Barack Obama, steps onto the point of the triangle and leaves members of his party below. The White House is viewing this very much through the lens of 2012. They are very comfortable and very happy to have an argument in 2012 that contrasts tax cuts for the rich, expiring Bush tax cuts, with cutting the troops and cutting Medicare. And I will tell you, interestingly, January 1st, 2013 is a date for two events that are important in that regard, John. It is the date not only that the enforcement mechanisms, the big Medicare cuts and the big Pentagon cuts, the axe falls on Congress if they don't get something done. It's also the exact same day that the Bush tax cuts expire.
All right.
So both of those things happening in counterpoint.
I was mentioning earlier that we just got a Pew Research poll that says that Americans blame pretty much everybody for the debts. The Americans are universally unhappy, but that they seem to blame the GOP or the Tea Party more for holding things up. Does that kind of set up things for the 2012 election, or is it too far away?
It's probably too far away, because I think voters have a short memory, Celeste, and I think
they
a
do.
Lot of that has to do with the state of the economy and jobs at the time. The White House, for one, feels like it is well positioned to have that fight on expiring Bush tax cuts and giving goodies to the rich while we're talking about cutting Medicare and Social Security. They feel very well positioned to have that fight. Where that shakes out, where the jobs numbers are, and the rest of the economy are at that time is a big unanswered question at this point.
All right. Todd Zwillick, Washington correspondent. Thanks so much, Todd.
My pleasure.
You can, Todd Zwillick has been tweeting all through the debt ceiling debate, and he will continue to do so. Of course, you can follow him at Todd_Zwillick. That's with a C-H. At Twitter. And he's going to be following as we move into the Committee of 12 that's supposed to reach a compromise that he says won't reach a compromise.